iHeart Podcast.
Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
I'm Beth Newell.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Kiddos.
Kids. Parents.
Calm down.
Calm down, guys.
It's another week in parenting. We did it. Holy cow.
How is everyone doing? I think this month has been kind of crazy for a lot of people because I don't know if we said this before, but we have a shorter December this year in terms of the amount of weeks after Thanksgiving we have to prepare for Christmas.
That feels true. I feel 1,000% underwater right now. The amount of things I need to accomplish before we leave on Saturday is overwhelming.
You better get on it.
That's all I've been doing.
I think this whole month is like, it's not been bad. It's just been a lot of little things where you're just like, I can't stop focusing on all these little things I need to get done. Like, yeah. I found this year more than ever, I feel like as kind of a factor of having kids, is like the amount of people who sort of work for me in some capacity or watch my children or like sort of help me day to day that I feel responsible for in terms of getting a small token of my appreciation, which for me is mostly cash. the sheer number of people is just crazy, and I feel honestly very grateful that we have these people in our lives that make our day-to-day life function pretty smoothly, and the fact that we're in a year in our lives where we have money to give them. I feel so grateful for that. It's still a staggering amount of things to think about in terms of preparation for the holidays. Like, it's just like, okay, I need to take out money. Oh, there's also this person and this person. And like, you're just, I don't know. I'm glad. I'm just very glad that like there's a number of people I can just throw $20 to or whatever amount that feels on par with the amount of work they do for us day to day and then feel like
a good person.
Just feel like I can do that for them and it's not a strain on us at this moment.
Yeah, that is not any more stressful than just getting that done.
Right. It's nice to know that the stress is just getting it done and the stress is not like tallying up meticulously the amount of money we have available to expend on this. You know, like,
it's one thing to have a checklist of things you need to get through. It's another where each item just you need to weigh against all these other factors and can we do this? Is the right thing? As opposed to just do this.
Yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, there's just a lot of...
I can do a checklist. I'll get through it.
Yeah.
I don't have room in my brain right now for nuance, for big picture. I just need to get through the stuff. It's going to be so... I'm stressed, but I'm happy. But it feels like finals week before vacation.
Yeah, it's. I was telling someone this week where I was like, "There's a lot of things to get done. I feel like I'm pretty on top of them, getting them all done. But I'm very eager to move into the portion of the holidays where we all just drink.
Yes,
we
all go and then most seasons I go, I can relax, so I instantly get sick because my body's like, well, you don't need to pull through.
Well, the good news is we've all been coughing all month. So I think
it sounds terrible.
I feel this week a very like I'm annoyed at myself at the level of guilt I feel about these coughs because more than one person has made a comment. It's always some older woman who is like,
our children's coughs?
Our children are coughing, and there's always someone who has to step in and be like, did you realize your children are sick? Like, and it just is very dramatic because it's like, kids get these colds and then the coughs linger, and that's what happens. And there's really not much you can do besides wait it out, keep the humidifiers on, rub eucalyptus oil on their feet. You know, like you do all these things and it's just a matter of time. And then you get these comments.
You really take these comments.
I know. It's personally. So hard not to, though, because it's like...
I feel for you, but I don't understand it because I couldn't care less.
I know, you don't. I just feel like... So we had a babysitter Saturday, so we could go out to a party for a holiday party, which we almost never do.
We went to an adult holiday party.
So we're letting loose. We're like, I'm going to have two drinks tonight. Like, we're relaxing for like the 2 hours of a 6 month period.
Yeah.
And then we get a text from our babysitter that was like, are you aware of Bryn's cough?
Harsh and consistent cough.
His harsh and consistent cough. And I'm sure she means perfectly well. And she's trying, I think in her mind, she's just trying to appear concerned and she's trying to look like she cares about our kids. And I think she does, and she's...
I think the cough is genuinely concerning to her.
Yeah, but it's also just like when you're leaving your kids for like 3 hours on a Saturday, it's like, yeah, I know they have a cough. Yeah, Can we just take a break?
She texted me, and I showed you this text, and it had an effect on you I did not anticipate.
You shouldn't have shown me this text.
I really regret it because I saw it and I was like, okay. It's not like I'm going to come home. And it did not bother me in the slightest.
Well, because the text was also in the context of us. We sat in a lot of traffic to get to our friend's party. And then by the time we got there, we were like, oh my God, we're going to have to leave soon to get back for when we told her. So we were like, can you stay a little bit later? And she was like, fine.
She said, and then she said, absolutely, have fun.
Yeah. And then she sends this text that is like, are you aware your children are on death's door with a cough? Are you just out there partying the night away?
That's I like that during this, I'm illustrating this really terrible sounding cough.
it's just a cough.
I know. I don't... She's a good babysitter. And,
no, I don't. That's all I don't I care think about. She I don't, meant anything bad by I it. I just think the timing of it is. It's. I'm not saying I'm having a rational response. I'm just saying.
That's okay.
Society has heavily conditioned me to be hair trigger responsive to this kind of.
Mom judgment,
and it's like. And I don't even think she's meaning to be judgmental, but it's because she's under her own spell of feeling judgment for like being like, I'm responsible for these children tonight. I have to look like I care. When we leave, she leaves the door open to their bedroom. Like they're 3 and 5. We haven't kept the door open while they're sleeping in years, but she's like,
we've never done that.
Whatever. But she's like, What's going on? Are they okay? Like, she's, like, very tuned in, and I know she means well, and she's very nice woman.
She woke them up to give them water because she's concerned about their coughs.
Yeah, she woke them up to give them water.
When you grew up, did you sleep with your door open? I think I did.
I don't think so.
Our kids always had the door. I mean, because we sleep right next to them.
I feel like the house I grew up in, the house that I grew up in, similar to our current apartment, it's like the walls feel like cardboard. Like the doors are very thin.
Yeah.
And it feels like even if you shut the door, you're never quite alone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, that's definitely why we do it here.
Yeah.
Because we're going to wake them up because we're right there.
Yeah.
So I went to another birthday party. Pause for 1 second. Okay, I just had a coughing attack, which was intense, and I'm going to have a cough drop in my mouth during this, so you're welcome. I went to a birthday party, Bryn and I, to a 5th birthday party from his old daycare and pre-K bus buddy. And how'd I do, Beth? Is that your question? I did all right.
Go on.
I was a little more social than the last party, but not by much. I got in there, and it was at the California Pizza Kitchen, which was a great simple birthday where they bring out, you know, some dough and sauce, and the kids make their own pizzas, and then they cook them, and then they eat them. And they had us in the corner where the kids could run around. And I somehow picked this seat that was, like, in the corner. I was just trying to get out of people's way. And then I got trapped and became just, like, the kid wrangler because I was the parent closest to everybody. And all the other parents, which were all moms, were all fast friends and knew each other and chit-chatted the day away. And I was there, and I tried to ask somebody about something, and the waiter came at that moment. And then I gave up and trying to be an adult. So when I said I did okay, what I meant was didn't do great. But Britt had a lovely time.
Well, while you were doing that, I was trying to convince Maven to get dressed so that we could go to the nail salon.
Ooh.
Which she was very excited about, but she took an hour and a half to get dressed.
Getting dressed is... it's like a holiday.
Here's what I have to say about Maven is that she is such a Taurus,
I don't know what that means.
Okay, so two of my very close friends are Tauruses, and they love tactile pleasures, like the experience of putting on makeup or skincare or like lotion or like massage, like something like that. Like they're just sort of kind of reveling in the moment of that experience.
Does that feed into, like, if you try to push Maven to get dressed quickly, she will exponentially get slower?
Yeah.
And she'll sit sort on her knees and just stare at a drawer.
She's developed this method where I think you one day as a fun thing laid her outfit out for her as if it was like a mini me on the ground.
I want to get her excited about putting it on, and it worked. But now,
every time she gets dressed, she wants to lay out her outfit as if it's a person on the ground,
like Peter Pan's shadow,
like a chalk figure. And it has to go in a very specific order with underwear on the bottom and the socks. And she's meticulous. And if you try to take anything out of the drawer as a suggestion of what she might add to the outfit for the day,
it slows down 25%.
She freaks out. She's like, that's not what I wanted to pick. And she's like slowly picking this out. So like Saturday.
Sunday.
I was way less urgent about getting her out the door because it's just like, we're just going to go for a walk and maybe get nails done or whatever. And so it's not, I'm just like, I'm not going to force you. Just like go get your clothes on. It like she just kept getting sidetracked by so many things. And it's very funny because I have two like basically best friends who are also Tauruses, and they both have been diagnosed with ADHD, which I think is maybe like there's some connection there, I think, to sort of being like, I kind of relate to this. Like,
well, it sounds like you have a thorough data set.
But like, this is kind of what you actually love to talk about sometimes, which is like attention blindness, which is like maybe this is like, you know, this is beyond just Tauruses, but like a sort of creative type of person or whatever, like a right-brained person will sometimes get in a mode where the thing that we're excited about in the moment, we're just so completely sucked in. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, it's very hard to perform a linear task.
Yeah, well, she's really locked on to some idea, and it makes her totally blind to the simple thing you're asking her to do.
Right.
Like, we have to go.
And you have to get her, like, excited about this.
Yeah, you can only you have to find where her attention is in order to redirect it. But a lot of times it's a real mystery with Maven. She's locked onto a thing I cannot see.
Yeah.
Whereas Brynn, I know exactly what he's thinking about.
I was reading something about people with ADHD. Maybe this was like a Twitter thread or something, but someone was talking about how like part of what gets them stuck in the A to B, C, D, whatever process is like, in order to have an executive function and to sort of map out a task in your mind, you have to be able to sort of picture the beginning to end result and like map out steps and sort of like you have to get a big picture.
Uh-huh.
And it's very hard sometimes for people with ADHD to like figure out that route so that they can like plan a course of action.
Is it just too hyper attached to the current moment?
Yeah, like because they would like take out their craft supplies or whatever and throw them on the table, and then sort of they just get stuck there staring at them, like sort of like what am I trying to do? Like
yeah.
It's sort of like and that kind of makes sense to me. I've had that moment with certain things, like with I guess with like newer tasks where you're sort of like, wait, how do you like?
Yeah, I mean I can relate to some of that. Whereas I've built this workflow that allows me to start at any point and just start going, and this thing leads to this thing, leads to this thing, leads to this thing. And I have enough systems so that I don't totally miss things, but it leads to certain moments where I suddenly am like, oh my God, I need to do that thing. And now I have almost no time. And so it's not the most efficient way to do it. And now that I'm saying it out loud, I should figure it out.
See, I think I do sometimes get stuck with this, but I think I'm actually really great at the big picture part when I let myself go with it. When I let myself take the time to plan instead of trying to rush through,
mm-hmm.
I think I'm actually really great at the plan.
I agree. You're not great at communicating that any of it's happening. And I'll come home one day and suddenly a meticulous, extremely complicated plan has been executed. I'm like, oh, I guess you've been thinking about this.
Well, yeah, I get frustrated because I have like a master plan that I've been really thinking over. And then you interject some thought that presumes that I don't have a master plan.
Yeah, because you haven't told me anything.
Well,
and so I'm like, oh, this would be cool. And you're like, you think I haven't thought of that? And I'm like, I didn't know you thought of any of this.
Because it takes so long to catch you up. It's just like,
you have like, no tolerance for catching people up sometimes.
It's hard.
You're doing better.
It's hard. I told you it is a detective trying to map out a serial killer on a wall. That's how my brain is attacking any issue at any time.
And then I come in, so I like, go, ooh, free thumbtacks.
Well,
and you're
I
like, get away from my board.
I've had a moment in like meeting years ago where like someone asked me a question and then I paused for a second because I was like thinking over like what the mechanics of the question were. And then they immediately were like, you don't like it. It was like, they were like, you're mad. And it was just like, I was like, no, I'm just thinking. I don't know. I was like, other people are just reacting in the moment. And I was like, I don't understand that.
Well, that's Maven. She's in a certain mode where I ask her something.
Yeah, she's processing. She's like,
and I just,
let me get this right.
But she doesn't show you that. It's just like you're not there and she wishes you weren't there. But if I didn't know you, I might be worried about this child. Instead, I just learned quicker that like, oh, okay. She's in this mode. I got to get out of her way.
It would be good, I think. I know we don't realistically have the time to do this all the time, but I think it would be helpful if we let her plan her outfits the night before.
I've thought about that.
I think it's a thing she cares about. For whatever reason, this is her passion. It's like she got dressed on Saturday and she put on a tank top for no reason in the middle of the winter and a skirt and pants and then mismatched socks. Like she purposely mismatched them.
Yeah, sometimes she gets quirky.
And she was like having a lot of fun with it. And then I was going to take her to the nail salon. And this was, again, after like a full hour and a half of like, can we get going? What's happening? And she insisted on wearing a fleece vest over a tank top, so like nothing had sleeves. And she refused to put sleeves on. And then I took her to the nail salon. And then this is just to reinforce my point from earlier about judgmental women, is that at the nail salon, she insisted on taking off her jacket. And then she insisted on also taking off the fleece. So I'm like, so you're just in a tank top in the middle of winter. And she's like, she wouldn't have it any other way. And this older woman at the nail salon was like, her cough. And like, literally this woman like was like, oh, she's sick. Like she like told me as if I can't hear the cough. And I was just like, it wasn't my decision to put her in a tank top in December.
But you were the one who allowed it. It's so funny
I'm just
because
picking my battles.
I know. Well, in the morning when I get ready for school, I can't let her do those things. So I'm always like, no, you got to do this kind. You can pick, but this kind. But I can't remember the last time I was like, hey, pick whatever you want. And that's what you get.
Well, it's a Saturday. I think they
need perfect.
A day that's like just whatever.
It's tank top skirt day.
It's weird kids day. It's go put on your costumes.
And let's get our nails done. And now it's time for Did You Knows? This is where we share a thing we read and are thinking about. Beth. Elizabeth.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
What do you got?
Thank you, Peter.
Can't make Peter longer. That's my name.
I wanted to talk about this article from fatherly.com. It's by EJ Dixon. And she wrote it's an advice column. She wrote in response to a dad who says, my wife and I recently had a baby. I'm just going to try to summarize it. He says, I'm an involved dad. Everything's mostly great, except that my wife's postpartum body is confusing me. I have so much respect for my wife, blah, blah, blah. And he says things like, milk drips out of her breasts and her body seems so animal. I'm an animal too. I get it, but also I don't. My image of the human body is radically changed and her body is the place where that is manifesting, which seems unfair. He goes on to say, I'm attracted to her still, but something's different. Now she's some kind of goddess, beast, animal, mother that my libido doesn't know how to respond to. I'm almost afraid to touch her, which I think she's picking up on and which I'm afraid is making her feel bad. It certainly makes me feel awful because I'm also more in love with her than ever, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the response to this, which I liked, was sort of just like, hey, your wife's going through a lot of shit with her own body. I'm sure she's not exactly attracted to you right now either. And then this sort of like, you have to put your issues on hold right now and like not worry about this.
Dude, why did you write that? And it's like, I didn't.
I mean, the headline here, which I should say, on fatherly.com is, I meant to take this from
we're prepared
the tweet, but it was just that attention men, your wife's postpartum body doesn't belong to you and it doesn't belong to your baby, it belongs to her, and the sooner you realize that the better.
Yeah, like no shit.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's here's the thing, I don't 100% blame men for their skewed, bizarro perspective of the world, because it is reinforced by literally all media that surrounds them and people and things. But like we have all these movies, like we have like Father of the Bride, we have movies where we see a man experience pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And then what drives me literally insane is that we have
you are literally insane.
Because I'm literally insane and I was diagnosed as a result of the lack of representation in media.
You have a prescription for it.
Yeah. Anyway, what drives me literally insane is that, one, I get interrupted when I'm trying to But two is that the, like, this very core human experience that women have, who women who happen to be more than 50% of the population and also responsible literally for the lives and the existence of 100% of the population. The story of how that comes to be is literally never represented fully or completely mm-hmm. or interestingly in media from their perspective in any meaningful way. And then the representations we do get of it are about and for men.
Are you telling me 9 months is not a perfect representation?
I'm talking exactly about movies like 9 months, where we explore the frustration of a man watching a woman have this transformative, difficult experience.
Or we watch a man ask Tom Arnold about his experience.
And we're supposed to feel empathy for them and sympathy.
I'm just still stuck on that. What does he think he's going to get out of this email, this letter?
He just wants some. This is what men want. They want someone to pat him on the head and say, "It's okay that you're selfish. We want you to be selfish."
No, this guy wants to be congratulated for being self-deprecating.
Yeah,
because he goes, "I feel so guilty about this thing." I'm like, not guilty enough to like.
Put your emotions aside for 1 minute while your wife heals the gaping wound in her uterus where a placenta detached from her body while she created a human being.
I gotta say, I did not have the experience of this guy.
Because you love my squishy body.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it's so squishy.
I guess there was something in a like... you know, like, oh, there's a body has changed because of this process.
You were too overwhelmed with pride of being a dad.
Yeah, I was just like, I did this.
I did
it's I understand the fascination, and it's really the way he describes like this animalistic thing, and it's a reminder that we're not what society paints humans to be, but we are truly animals, you know, and it is sort of an indicator of that. And he's grappling with, you know, his own morality and his own, like, we're just animals. If I'm going to give him credit, which I'm giving him too much of right now. And I think I can relate to that, but I found that affirming, life affirming and exciting.
Because you were like, we're all animals.
Yes, nothing matters.
I think if you can watch a person come out of your wife's body and then find a new and interesting way of being attracted to her, then you're sort of more animal than ever.
You don't have to find a way makes it sound like, how do I figure this out?
No, but I think you sort of have to grapple. It's like this moment of like, oh, we're all dirt. You know, like you have to face your own mortality and be like, she made a me.
She gave me another me. That's a woman.
She made a me. I am nothing.
And neither I nor it nor her.
Nothing is anything.
In the end. Nothing matters.
You have to move through that. Mm.
The concept of mattering is imaginary.
My penis is not so big and important as I thought it'd be.
I mean, it is to me, but
I'm mad at me and my little penis.
And then he was like, Peter, hey. Focus up. You've been talking to yourself in the corner for 20 minutes. But why am I here? You have to go pick up your kids.
Father now. Do something to help.
I pay the bills. Pick up your kids. Cook some food. Do the laundry.
I was telling So I went tonight to my sister, her company's holiday party at her apartment, and she has a business partner for her political consulting company, who is this guy, and he was there with his fiance, and he was doing something where he took ice out of the freezer and then he went to put it back in the freezer but put it in like a totally different place, and his fiance was like, "What are you doing? Why would you do it like that?" And I was like telling her that me and Jackie, in our book, there's no manual.
Coming out February 4th?
In our book, we had a little sidebar where we gave a definition for mentuition, which is just the opposite of intuition. And that's kind of the male.
I'm not going to argue with that.
It takes a second to catch up every time.
I'm too busy thinking about a different thing than whatever the thing is I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
So we're holidays. We're going to go on a trip. So next week, I don't know what our episode will be. It's going to be something weird, atypical. But that's not the point. But just be ready for that.
Just be ready.
But we're getting on an airplane. And I think this, unless it snows a bunch, I think this will be the easiest one yet. Did I just jinx it?
Yeah, probably. You gotta charge up all the devices.
Yeah.
It's a short flight. We'll be okay.
It's fine. I'm excited to be on a plane with Bryn for a long time and do, you know, like puzzles and word games and facts and figures. Because that kid can lock in on that stuff. And I love it.
I'm literally never excited to be on an airplane, but I am less dreading this trip than every other trip we've taken with children.
Well, our last one was to Atlanta, and we were in that airport for like 10 hours, and it was not bad.
Yeah, we did pretty well.
We can handle anything.
We can do it.
I'm ready.
One of my friends is taking her two kids from New York to LA for the holidays by herself, no other parent. Yeah. She has a 2- and a 4-year-old.
This is what my mom did all over Europe by herself.
Yeah, your mom's like next level in her ability to
just like
shrug things off,
detach, and go, "We'll get there.
It's fine."
It's the worst cough. And you wonder why the babysitter texted.
You guys, write in with your cough remedies, because we're literally dying.
We're going to not make it. Oh, what I was going to say is that my little brother, Sam, and his new baby, you heard all about it if you've listened to the podcast, their baby announcement on the show. They're bringing their little baby. And we didn't know if they were going to come, and they are coming. And they're putting that little guy in an airplane, and
oh my God,
we need to get rid of these coughs so that we can squeeze that baby.
Such a perfect little elf baby. He has like a little pointy
elf face.
Elf face. He's so cute. I'm so excited.
I want to throw him around like a football, but not really, but metaphorically. I want to hold him, but
Peter,
metaphorically, I want to throw him around like a football.
He's so tiny. Eat him up. Peter, don't.
I'm not going to. I'm saying metaphorically, I want to throw him around like a football. Like the old pigskin, run him around the yard.
What is wrong with men? Just learn to say you love
him. I want to put him in my pocket.
This is toxic masculinity.
I want to
baby love.
I want to chest bump that baby metaphorically. But to be clear,
just so you want to snuggle his sweet smelling little head.
I mean, literally, that's what I'm going to do. But metaphorically, we're going to get into the trenches.
Metaphorically, we're going to teach him how to be a man.
Metaphorically, we're going to kill some shit. Metaphorically, we're going to get into the woods with a six pack and shoot things.
I'm going to
smell his baby head.
Hold his little onesie.
You're going to hold his onesie?
Little, him in his little snuggly onesie.
I just pictured you in his room when no one else is around, going in his drawers, just sniffing his onesies, you his, creepo.
Oh, my God. I mean, last time we saw him, he was, like, still, I think he was still kind of, like, sleeping off the bilirubin.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, just completely out of it. But this time, he's going to be a little guy.
Those eyes are going to be open. He's going to be checking things out.
Who knows what he's like?
He's a totally different person from the last time we saw him.
Oh, my God.
You know what's crazy? You know, every, you know, 3 months or so, babies and little kids become a totally different kid. And then at a certain age, it's like every 6 months, they're a totally different kid, blah, blah, blah. They seem like, oh, here's a totally new person. But when you go back and you watch videos of, you know, Bryn at 4 months old, you're like, oh, that's Bryn. 100% same kid.
Same he person.
Has always been that kid. This has been Did You Know?
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Know. It's where we take questions and comments from you guys.
All right, this email comes to us from Mandy. Mandy! Hey there, Beth and Peter. I've been listening since episode one came out, and I finally have a question about a parenting situation that you seem to have a lot of experience with. My kids are almost exactly 2 years apart, as in almost shared a birthday, but I missed it by 3 days. They're also both Leos, throwing that in there in case Beth has any further advice that's sign related. Anyway, we have one bedroom for two kids. My almost 2.5-year-old daughter is still in her crib and uses a crib tent. It's wonderful. She also got a twin bed in the room that we lay and read on, and she knows it will be her big kid bed when her 5.5-month-old brother takes over the crib. She seems pretty excited about it. Little brother sleeps in a pack and play in my room, and eventually we're going to need to introduce him to sleeping in the same room as his sister. This is mostly out of sizing needs because he's going to outgrow the pack and play sooner rather than later. He's in 12-month-old clothes. He's in 12-month clothes and a very tall baby. As of now, they're both going to bed at 7 p.m.-ish and wake up around 12 hours later. I know we are extremely lucky. They both love sleeping. I don't tell many people about it. Also, except the podcast. You just did tell many people. That's okay. Also, we have never co-slept and don't nurse, so there is no special transition needed there. Since Bryn and Maven are of similar age difference, it sounds like they share a room. What did you guys do to make the transition work? Was it sort of kind of smooth? When did you do it age-wise? I know kids have shared bedrooms for millennia, and it's obviously doable, but I'd like to hear how it went for you and the kids. This is a bit long, but I appreciate any insight you may have. Your podcast certainly helped me through my second pregnancy while I was also chasing around a toddler. Your podcast will not help me through a third pregnancy because that's never, ever happening. Cheers, Mandy. Us too, Mandy.
Us too. You're officially declaring it a never ever again pregnancy.
I'm done with it. I just don't want a kid that's so far age different from these two.
I'm pretty done with pregnancy, but why do you think the age difference is big? You and your brothers are like 4 years apart.
I mean, I don't know. Let's not have this conversation yet.
You're so scared of this conversation that you brought up.
I didn't do it. Mandy did.
I love it. I was a little confused as to what her question is. She's asking, how do you do the transition to putting the kids?
Yeah, so the 4.5-month-old is in the pack and play. And her daughter is in the crib.
Oh, so how do you transition the daughter to the bed?
Yeah, exactly the situation we were in.
I'm struggling to remember exactly, but didn't we put this off for a long time?
Maven slept with us.
Yeah.
For a long time.
But then there, I feel like there was maybe like an attempt at this that didn't work. Maybe I'm just confusing it with potty training.
Bryn's bed started as a mattress on the ground.
Yeah.
With a guardrail, which I just found a picture of and I forgot. I was like, that was a weird choice.
That's the choice of first-time parents.
You know what? I think we just, I mean, Bryn was 20 months old when Maven was born. And how long did she sleep with us? I feel like maybe a long time.
I don't remember. This
less
is all
than 6 months?
Very much a blur to me.
It might have been like 6 months.
All I know is that I think when you have two kids that age, 2 and 6 months-ish or whatever they're doing.
4 and a half.
Wait, theirs is 4 and a half?
4 and a half months and 2 and a half years.
Oh, okay. So similar. So you do what you have to do to survive. And if you don't transition them from one thing to another at the time you thought you would, it doesn't matter at all. I was just talking to my friend who was like, she was saying how she was talking to her mom. We were talking about like holiday traditions and how she was trying to remember her Hanukkah traditions growing up, and she had this kind of memory, but she was also the youngest child, and she was like, I probably remember like a more organized version of this than what actually happened.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So she was telling her mom, like, I don't understand how you had us all sitting down to dinner every night for dinner and like all eating together, because she, my friend, currently has a 2 and a 4 year old, and she's like, it's just chaos, you just like throw them food, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And her mom was like, oh no, when your brothers were little, I definitely didn't have a dinner together. Like, she's like, you're just remembering when we got through that. Like,
you know, that's so funny, because I was thinking the exact same thing, because I remember every night, and I'm sure this is not true, everyone sat down and we had dinner together, and you couldn't leave till everyone was done. You couldn't start till mom picked up her fork and all these rules. But it's because I had two older brothers who could be good enough to sit still.
Well, and that's what my friend was saying about her Hanukkah presents, because we were talking about, like, do you put the presents out where your kids could grab them, or do you hide them all until Christmas morning? And she was saying her mom laid them out, but, like, she was the youngest kid, so the older kids would be like, do not touch the presents. We're not allowed to touch the presents. And she just believed that that was the rule.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
well, it's like, remember, okay, we, early in our relationship, our first big fight, when I told you you weren't invited to Christmas, because I was very certain that there were very specific rules. And when I asked my brothers about it, they were like, no. But I asked my little brother, he was like, oh yes, 100%, those are the rules. And I was just like, but it's also the same thing. Bryn, we got him an advent calendar, and he immediately opened all the doors. Yeah. And I was so upset by this. But it is, older siblings are like, here's the deal, you don't open these.
Yeah.
He's not modeling that for his sister.
He is, but he just makes up his own rules for her.
He makes up rules about everything.
Yeah, because he's copying you.
I know.
He loves to make up rules.
I know. New rule. Don't remind me. All right. Should we do? So I think, Mandy, when it comes time, whenever that is, if you want to follow our model, it was just do it. Just, you put the baby in the crib and you go, all right, it's this baby's now sleep in the bed. And they will react in the way they react, which is different than the way our kids reacted.
I will say, putting two kids in the same bedroom, there was a period of time that I've partially blocked out of my memory, which was just kind of hell of trying to get them both to sleep.
Which
kind of continues into today, on a lower key level. But like, when you're trying to rock Maven to sleep, and Bryn would be like nonstop talking as a 2 year old, like all these things, like it was just impossible. And you just resign yourself to the fact that on any given day, any given bedtime, it's just going to be hell.
Any given Sunday, it's going to be hell. You know, until it's not, or yeah. maybe it never is. They, it sounds like your kids are chill.
It goes away. It just, every transition feels like a nightmare for a little while.
Every transition is a nightmare.
Every kiss begins with K.
All right. So, can I just say an incredibly spooky thing happened, and loud and scary before you came home?
What?
I was sitting here working, trying to catch up on things. Got a lot of work done. And then out of nowhere, our sound system starts blaring radio, like internet radio, at and in the loudest level I even knew our speakers
what
were capable
of.
What
was it saying?
It just turned on a radio station on our receiver. And so I had my headphones in. And
but how
I,
can you interpret the sign if you didn't pay attention to what was being said by the radio station?
Because it was, I had my headphones in. It was so loud. And I jumped up. I couldn't tell where it was coming from. So I jumped up and I was like, hey, Siri, off. And it was like, nothing's happening, you idiot. What do you mean? And I jumped up to the.
Siri said that to you?
Basically, that's what it sounded like to me. And then I jumped up to the speaker and realized it wasn't an Apple product. It was this. And so I ripped the door off the thing, and it was so loud for so long, and I was so scared. And then I turned it off, and I was like, how the hell did that happen? I still don't know.
Well.
That was my story. There was
a
ghost.
You need to listen.
There was a ghost in the receiver. It was, you know, it was just like a random pop station. All right, you ready for this? Last email of the night.
Okay.
This is from Ashley. Night diapers and toxic masculinity. What a combo. Hi, Weenos. I've been binging your pod for the last few months, and I've just caught up, so I can finally send you an email without you thinking, why is she writing about old shit? I won't go on about how much I like the pod. So Beth isn't annoyed that with Peter reading every word, but knows that I really enjoy your woke yet realistic perspective. Woke is in quotes. I'm a mom to a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old boy, and I have a few recommendations for you, listed with headings for Peter. Thank you. 1, night diapers. My daughter sleeps like a rock and doesn't yet have the active hormones, so she still wets the bed. We had great success with the Target brand Up and Up night diapers, so I highly recommend as a cheaper and more absorbent alternative to good nights. 2, non-stereotypical book reference with a male subject. My household loves the book Big Mean Mike by Michelle Knudsen. It challenges a few aspects of toxic masculinity in an entertaining way through a tough guy dog main character and his encounters with some cute fuzzy bunnies. Opportunities to read in fun character voices included. Enjoy your holidays, Ashley.
That sounds like a cool book.
I like that, the sound of that.
We should get that.
There's still time for Christmas. So Bryn has a weird Bryn now, because I got all these good nights. He has a weird attachment to his old pull-ups, which were too small. And the first time we got them, I was like, we got in a fight about it. I'm like, because you're leaking through the whatever. And so now, in order to avoid putting on the good nights, he sneaks off and he pees in the toilet before bed. And then refuses to have help getting dressed so that he can secretly find a pull-up and put that on and then put his jammies on. And he thinks that if I see it, I'm going to, like, be upset and make him change. But I'm like, he's getting ready for bed all by himself and doesn't need me bugging him. It's perfect.
Right. And honestly, we have a whole box of pull-ups that I would rather just get rid of than waste.
Yeah. It's so... I solved that problem.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And not in the way that I intended. Accidental good parenting. That's the net, you know, your book. There's a manual.
Mentuition.
And yeah, my book's called Mentuition, or it's called Oops, Some of the Things I Did Were Good.
I accidentally got kids,
and not all my decisions are disruptive. Not disruptive, destructive. Or disruptive? Manspiration is something else.
All right, what do you think on that?
Manspiration, mintuition.
Menstruation?
Mandela.
Anyway, thank you guys.
This has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. If you'd like to send us an email, give us advice. How about a would you know scenario? We need some of those. We haven't had some of those in a while. You can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com.
Or you can leave us a voicemail at 347-384-7396.
Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at We Knows Pod.
And go rate, review, subscribe.
Go rate, review, subscribe.
Do it.
Yo.
It's all we ask.
Everybody's doing it. This podcast slaps. Somebody did write a review with that.
Write your review of our podcast, subject heading, Everybody's Doing It.
Everybody's doing it. 5 stars. And we'll see you in the new year, babies.
Bye.